You're listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Otto D Show here on Star Worldwide Networks, where this is show number 201. Man, it's hard to believe I've already done 200 shows. And with that in mind this week, I was reviewing a bunch of interviews and recalled my interview with Dee Dee Wood, but I couldn't find it online. I have no idea if it simply was never posted or if it somehow mysteriously disappeared. So, with a little help, I located the original recording of the interview and listened back. Man, that was a lot of fun. So I decided for show number 201, it might be interesting to invite my dear friend, Shannon Wallace, who originally introduced me to Dee Dee and facilitated Dee Dee's appearance on the show, to come down and help me represent this original interview and talk a little bit about their relationship. So here's my good friend, Shannon Wallace. Thanks for coming on to the show and in a sense celebrating an interview with Dee Dee Wood that marks my 200 shows now.
Congratulations.
Well, thanks. And thank you for bringing her on and for introducing us. You were the first person who reached out to me mentioning Dee Dee lived in Cave Creek and offered to reach out to her to bring her on the show. And it was a lot of fun. And before we play the interview back, I just wondered if you could tell us how you met Dee Dee Wood originally.
So I was interested in getting involved in local community theater. I'd never really done that, and I wanted to dabble a little bit. I had just moved up into the Cave Creek, Carefree, North Scottsdale area, and I had heard about her name, and that there was this community meeting. For anybody who was interested in possibly learning about what shows were upcoming for the season and who was involved. So it was a bunch of choreographers up there and producers and directors all at the community theater level, except for, of course, Dee Dee. So I walked into this meeting in this bank after 5 p.m., this community bank, and I didn't know which one was Dee Dee.
But you knew she was going to be there.
Right. I knew she was going to be there, and that's why I went. Okay. So I thought, well, you know, I mean, I'm arrogant enough myself as an entertainer to broach any type of medium with a level of confidence, even if I've never done it before, because I trust myself to know that I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. But I walked in the room with great confidence, as if I was this wonderful actress that has done musical theater on Broadway, you know. So Dee Dee must know who I am, you know. If she doesn't, then she will tonight. And so I was introduced to her, and she said, "Who the hell are you?"
Because she could tell.
Yeah. That's and I said, "Well, you know, I am who I am, and I'm interested in working with you." And she says, "Well, I don't know about that. We'll see." And that started a long-time friendship. That was many years ago now.
Do you remember what year it was about?
I would suspect that was maybe around 2010, 2009, 8, somewhere around there, maybe.
And has she given you any insight in terms of your career?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, after we befriended one another, I did 3 of her shows. So just ever since that meeting, then she had 3 more shows before she ended up retiring completely. And I did all 3 with her.
Okay.
So we got along so well that, you know, there were a lot of lunches at her house and coffees, and a lot of coffee talk and a lot of kibitzing and about, you know, people she knows and people she directed in terms of choreography. And so I would ask her about the music that I was doing and the direction and ask for her guidance and, you know, a little insight into the biz and if I was going in the right direction. Did I have her blessing? I always kind of liked her validation and blessing. And I mean, we're speaking about her in past tense in some ways, and that's not true. She's very much still with us and still as feisty as ever. But anyway, I guess I'm referring more to my formative years in the business. So she saw a level of green in me that she was willing to mentor.
Okay. Well, what do you say we listen to some of the interview?
That'd be great.
All right. Here you go. Dee Dee Wood on the Otto D Show. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in on this lovely Monday evening as the sun goes down in Scottsdale, Arizona. My guest this evening is an Emmy Award-winning choreographer with an incredible list of credits to her name. She also acted as judge for the Emmy Awards for many years, and she has danced in some of the biggest shows on Broadway. So allow me to welcome to the show the incomparable Miss Dee Dee Wood. Dee Dee, how are you doing?
How we doing? I'll let you know in about 10 minutes.
Thanks for driving all the way in.
Well, I have a friend who drove me, Gordy. My friend Gordy drove me.
Perfect. And we have Gordy in the room. Gordy, how are you doing? Yell really loud.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah, I didn't give Gordy a microphone yet, so we'll see how that works out. You've been in Cave Creek as a resident now since, I guess, the early 70s.
In and out, back and forth from Hollywood, still working on films. And we came out here to visit some friends and just fell in love with the place. And the next day, no, not the next day. Can I go on with this story?
Yeah. I'm about to interrupt, but I'm waiting.
Okay. My ex-husband, Mark Bro, we were partners. We did a lot of these films together. He was in London doing another show, or I was in London doing another show. And he was here coming back through L.A., and he called me in London and said, I'm in a little town called Cave Creek, Arizona. And he said, there's a little piece of property for sale, and I'm in London, right, doing a big show. I'm there with my best friend, Cheetah Rivera, and we're having a ball, and I'm doing a show. I don't care what's happening out here in Cave Creek, Arizona. I said, sure.
Get
no
to.
Problem. It'll be an investment.
Right.
And now, and pretty soon, we moved here. And I said to him when he was here, and we were thinking about moving here permanently, and oh, it was just a little bungalow. And I said, well, you know, Mark, I'm in L.A., still in L.A., doing films, doing stuff. And he's here in Cave Creek. And I said, you know, if I have a nice kitchen and a swimming pool, I'll think about moving there. So that's what I got. And I still got it.
That's awesome. Now, it struck me odd to think Cave Creek. I mean, I know I came to the Valley in 89. And Cave Creek has really exploded even since then. But back in the 60s, Cave Creek had to be a road with a street sign.
We had a couple of friends who had a shop here, and they lived out in Cave Creek. We went out and had dinner with them. And then Mark was driving through and said, you know, I think we'll just invest.
Wow. You've really seen that place change, haven't
you? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How do you like living up there now? It's almost a little hustle and bustle for a little town.
No, it isn't. When you're there, it's not hustle and bustle. When you're away, people say, oh, yeah. And there's a lot of people coming out to visit and a lot of stuff happening in Carefree and, you know,
places. Over the years, have a lot of your friends wanted to hide at your place when they wanted to leave the coast?
They have been out here and kind of look at me like, what do you do out here? And I tell them.
I feed the javelinas.
Which we do have a lot of out in Cave Creek.
Yeah.
But I still go in. I'm a judge, you know, on the Emmy Awards. I go in and see my buddies and my friends and dish and laugh about the good old days.
Yeah.
And showbiz.
Talk about the good old days. You have been involved in so many incredible projects. And before we even go there, you weren't born in Cave Creek, London or L.A. You were born out on the East Coast.
Boston.
So tell me a little bit about what life was like on the East Coast when you were a little girl.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy. I was born in Boston. There were a lot of how I got involved in dance was a friend of mine was taking a dance class, and she said, why don't you come? And I was in high school. I didn't start dancing till I was in high school. I fell in love with it so much that one day I had a crying spell with my mom. And she said, what's the matter? She was so worried about me. I said, I want to take more dance classes. I want to take more dance classes.
Wow.
I didn't know I wanted to be a choreographer. I had no idea what a choreographer was or what a professional dancer was. But I knew that I would not live unless I danced. And I'm still
doing
it.
Isn't that amazing? And actually, you didn't find that at 4 years old. You found that the first time you went to a dance class as a teenager.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I didn't start when I was 7 years old, a lot of people do.
And did it grab you? That's amazing it grabbed you so much that you cried thinking you weren't going to get to dance
again. Yeah, and somehow we found the money, and I took more classes. Then I became an assistant teacher out there for a white Russian, who, you know, got out of Russia and retired. And he was teaching, and so I helped him teaching classes, and then I got a scholarship to a dance community, a summer dance thing in Massachusetts up near I can't think of it. I'm sorry. Think of the name of it. It got me going. Mm-hmm. I came back from that and I said to my mom.
That was it.
Yeah, I'm going to New York. I have to go to New York and dance and do whatever. I have to do this. I knew from the scholarship that I got mm-hmm.
in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh. Thank you. You're very good. I knew that I wanted to do the dance uh-huh. stuff, whatever. I didn't know I was gonna be a professional.
Did you scare your parents when you said I'm gonna go to New York?
I think at that point they were helping me.
And they knew.
Yeah, yeah. I think in all of the arts like acting and singing and dancing and performing and when you're that young mm-hmm. and you have a feeling for that, you don't know that you want to actually do that.
Yeah.
But if you stick with what you love to do and apply yourself, yeah. something happens. All of a sudden, you're working at the business.
Like here you were, one dance class, and you're like, I have to do this.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're actually working with a professional teacher as an assistant. Yeah. What was your first gig?
There was a wonderful, wonderful dance school there. And I just went and I said to the teacher, I have to become a member of your class that doesn't pay any money.
I love that.
And she said okay. And so I ran the elevator.
Okay.
I cleaned the dressing rooms. Mm-hmm. I helped out in any way I could to take dance classes.
Wow.
And that did it. And then I thought, I'll just go into an audition. They had auditions listed in a paper mm-hmm. in New York City. I'll just go and see what happens. I want to see what this is like, but I didn't want to go because I thought I'll be a dancer, artistic dancer, you know. So then I got it, and it was Guys and Dolls on the road, the road company of Guys and Dolls.
That was your first audition?
Yeah, so I took it. I said, okay, I'm going to do this. And then I went on the road for a year with that. Well, then you learn a lot. You go to all mm-hmm. these different theaters in all these different wonderful cities. Mm-hmm. You make wonderful friends. And then I started, because I had the background of the school that I was at in New York, mm-hmm. I taught the company. I taught the actors and the singers dance movements.
Oh.
And plus the dancers that were in there.
You moved accidentally into the choreographer's job.
Yeah, then I taught them dance classes. So that kind of got me going, really going.
Now, let's back up a little bit to the Guys and Dolls gig. I read something, I think it was an interview maybe that you had given in the past about that story. Let me find the guy's name. I wrote it down. Who was the...
Michael Kidd.
Michael Kidd, who was the choreographer on the show. That in the original tryouts, you didn't get the job. And so you waited for him outside.
I did.
And said, what's your problem?
I wish I had said that, but that wasn't the lingo then. It was the 46th Street Theater, I remember, and standing on the little steps that went up to the stage door. And he came out, and he kind of looked at me. Then his assistant was with him, and he looked at his assistant like, what is she doing here?
Yeah, what?
And I said, why didn't you hire me? Okay, so now it's for Guys and Dolls. All right, this is what I did. So he said, you know what? He said, come back tomorrow to the finals, and we'll try it again. And then I knew, because the Guys and Dolls, the dancers, the lady dancers, wore high heels. Mm-hmm. I didn't own a pair of high heels. I had to borrow them, and I worked all night in these high heels, which kills you if you're not used
goodness.
To them. You don't wear high heels, do you?
Not very often. In fact, I don't own a pair.
Just checking.
But I will if it helps the story.
So, and I got it, and then I went on the road, and that's when then there was no holding me back.
That's just amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you went, after that show, you did a couple of other, you did Can Can and Lil Abner were shows you did on Broadway.
Yes.
But I had a question about Lil Abner, because I read that you actually became Michael Kidd's assistant choreographer on that show.
Yes.
And I wondered, did you dance in that show as well?
Yes, because he did all the work. I had to memorize his choreography. And he became my mentor.
That's awesome. You know?
Yeah. Michael Kidd, I think he had 5 awards from
He went on and did ridiculous stuff. Continually.
He was and funny, funny guy.
Cool.
Too. So
that probably was your first real taste. I mean, you say you did it on the road with Guys and Dolls, maybe accidentally by showing everybody just because they needed help.
Yeah.
But then that was your first official role as a choreographer?
Then came back and went into the New York company of Guys and Dolls.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Back to the dance school, though. What was special about the dance school?
It was an all-black dance school.
Okay.
On 43rd Street, right across from the New York Times building.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to go across the street and have lunch at the New York Times cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
And they had dance classes that were just outrageous. They were just wonderful. And I joined the company that myself and another girl were the only white girls mm-hmm. in the company. It was mm-hmm. an all-black dance company. Mm-hmm. And the dancing was absolutely powerful. And it was one of the things that I credit with my knowledge of music and dance and looks and, you know, everything. Just the best.
I have a question for you. Coming from...
By the way, I'm white.
Yes, that's correct. That is accurate. And thanks for clarifying that since we're not on TV. So I have a question for you. Going from Broadway, which is one thing, and a lot of dancers or other professionals don't necessarily transition from one environment to another, like stage to TV and or TV to film. You have so many credits in film. What was the first move for TV or for film? Because I know you met Dick Van Dyke when he was on somebody else's show. You guys
he was on a Jack
for him.
Benny show.
Right.
You're too young for that, right? Do you know who Jack Benny was?
Oh, Jack
was?
And I were good friends. and I'm lying. No, I know who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I didn't sit up watching the show.
And they, you know, and they hired Mark and myself, my partner.
And was
partner.
This your first TV bit, or you'd been
yes.
doing...
Yes. Okay. And we choreographed for Dick... a number called Any Place I Hang My Hat Is Home. And that's when he first tossed his hat to the hat stand.
Right.
Yeah, and across the room, and it landed, you know.
Right.
Of course, with Dick
Live
Van Dyke.
TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was quite a physical actor. He was really good.
Oh, yeah. Wonderful
stuff.
Dancer.
And so that I understand that after a few days after that aired, actually, you got a call from Disney inviting you guys to participate in a feature film that he was involved in, the Mary Poppins
Mary
movie.
Poppins, exactly.
And was that the first time you choreographed for film?
Yes.
What and a movie, and for that to be the first
not,
one.
And not only that, Walt Disney was there.
Wow.
Walt Disney, and he would come every day. We rehearsed on what we call the back lot at Disney Studios. It was
uh-huh.
outside.
Uh-huh.
And all the guys, if you all remember, they were chimney sweeps
right.
in that. And Uncle Walt, as we called him, after lunch would come to the back lot and bring his friends who had had lunch with him to watch us rehearse. Well, my job was at lunchtime to sit and watch down the Disney Studios, the road that he would come up in his little golf cart.
Right.
And I say, okay, everybody, 5, 6, 7, 8. We'd be up dancing, you know, doing chimney sweep stuff. I'm embellishing a lot.
Well, but no, I get that, though. I get how you knew that he was going to be by, and you
oh,
knew
yeah.
what he wanted to see.
Hands
you knew he was
on.
Showing people, so you did have to kind of present as he would come by, you know?
Hands on everything that he did. Well,
now,
Disney.
I have to ask you, half of that film is animated, and there are these characters dancing that are drawn on the wall that are interacting with the actors. I mean, this was so far ahead of its time. You know, what was a blue screen before we did green screens back in the day. I thought, oh my gosh, the work you guys did to choreograph just Dick Van Dyke and Julie Andrews, and they're working with the image, leaving space and interacting with these characters, and the characters are dancing
yeah.
sometimes.
So,
were you invited to... deal with the animated dancers
oh, yeah.
routines?
Oh, yeah. I was one of the penguins. So myself and three of the other dancers did the penguin dance for the animators.
Wow.
They filmed us.
I wondered.
And they drew. So I'm one of those penguins. And I have penguins all over my house. Not live ones.
Right.
Wonderful, you know, toys and statues. Penguins are my life.
I just wonder if that wasn't one of the... I have to go look if that wasn't one of the very first times that somebody choreographed animated dancing
oh,
in a major film like that.
It was just great. It was great. And, of course, the animators embellished it, you
oh,
know,
yeah.
with what they could do, which what we couldn't, you know, mm-hmm. manage without killing ourselves.
And now the songs in the movie are incredible pieces of work.
Yeah.
I mean, you must have had so much fun. Oh. I mean, supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Yeah. Having the songwriters play the music for us first, you know, and then...
Was there any interaction, or did you generally get it when it was done? So they didn't watch you guys and rewrite anything for routines?
No, I don't. There wasn't any rewriting. I think maybe if there was something that that was physically that we wanted to move in from one connector to another, mm-hmm. we would talk with the songwriters about how can we connect those two lines together so that we can do this slide
right.
with the dancers, you know.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I have another question for you. I had heard from speaking to someone that in the beginning you weren't really keen on Dick Van Dyke doing a lot of the jumping or stunts kind of stuff. In his...
Well, yeah, no, he did everything. Matter of fact, he showed us some fabulous stuff that he owned, that body of his, the Dick Van Dyke body.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
You know.
He
could do, and we would incorporate everything. We work together on all of that.
Well, I say we play a little bit of a song from the movie.
Okay.
You up for that? So you can have a maybe drink of water.
Are you going to sing?
I could, but you know, it would ruin the whole thing.
Me too.
You know, but let me go ahead and play for you here on the Otto D Show with my guest, Dee Dee Wood, a song called Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Very good.
From Mary Poppins that you choreographed all the dance moves on. And this might bring back
you
some
You want
memories.
Me to dance for you?
You can if you like, but you know what? I'm going to enjoy watching you hear this again.
Okay. With it in your...
You're listening to Otto D, coming at you live.
And I'm here with Dee Dee Wood, the choreographer for Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. That had to be a lot of fun.
It was too much fun, and I just almost knocked over the mic dancing here.
The whole movie is just crazy, crazy comedy dance moves. I mean, exaggerated moves. Had to be a lot of work.
Cartoon stuff. Dick Van Dyke.
Yeah. And you went on to have quite a long relationship with Dick in terms of his work. I know personally as well as friends, but you went on to do, gosh, what were all the other movies? Let me pull up my little list of all those famous movies I watched as a child. Well, you actually did Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Yeah.
You did some choreography in that. And you also did The Sound of Music with Julie Andrews.
Oh, yeah, with Julie, yeah.
Do you remember working on that one? That had to be a project.
That was super, super to work on.
So did you do the scene with the kids, where the kids are saying goodnight, and one by one they're going up the stairs?
Oh, yeah.
And then the little girl at the end just crawls up backwards kind of and falls asleep on the top step.
Yeah. And then I can't think of her, the name of the oldest daughter. You know, for months, we knew what we wanted her to do. At the end of that, the little girl falls asleep on the steps. Remember the...
Yeah.
And she goes and picks her up and carries her up. Well, by that time... We had been in Austria, where they have the best desserts ever, ever, ever. And we had all been eating that. Little girl gained so much weight. And it was so... But she did it. I don't know how she did it. I said, shall we change this ending for you? She said, no, I can do it. I can pick her up. But, that was a chubby little girl. We all were.
Yeah, it was a chubby little experience, that movie.
Yeah.
We used to talk that way about records. In fact, I did a record with Joey DeFrancesco, who's a jazz organist. And we always called that the best record we ever ate. Because the record company took us all out to dinner every day in fancy restaurants in town.
Yeah.
And it's weird to remember a project by the meals, but, you know, that can happen sometimes. So with Julie Andrews... Incredible, incredible project. I imagine you got to work with her personally.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Because you get all to, as a choreographer, you kind of, you do a lot of this work, but then I would imagine you almost fit it like a tailor does to the person you're dealing with in some cases. It's like, here's what I would do if I were the one dancing, but since you're dancing, maybe we'll do this.
I don't think it was that cut and dried. I think it was we approached it as a character,
mm-hmm.
besides it being Julie Andrews who did it, who was that character.
Right.
And she, of course, we blended her moves with the character's moves and with the songwriters who wrote this music. So it was a lot of fun, never difficult, never, mm-hmm. never, never difficult.
Do you have any like horror stories from working on the sets?
Any kind of what?
Horror stories where everything went wrong and things broke down. There's always those kind of stories. But
I think I've put those out of my head.
Okay. Good girl.
But if I remember one, I'll call you tonight about midnight. Is that okay?
I'll take that call. Well, let me ask you about another show you worked on that I really liked when I was growing up. I really loved the show. It was the Andy Williams Show.
Really?
I thought Andy Williams was just
amazing. He was amazing.
Just loved him.
Yeah.
And so I don't remember, again, how much of that show was skits versus singing. I remember a lot of singing, so I'm not picturing what a lot of the choreography might have been.
Yeah, well, I know there was one number, the one number that stands out that we absolutely loved doing, that Andy also loved doing. There were, I think we had 12 dancers with Andy. Mm-hmm. They were all in rocking chairs. Loved that number, not because they were in rocking chairs, but it was so cool, you know, to the music with Andy, of course, so laid back.
Yeah,
worked, and it was one of his favorites.
I also wanted to ask you about your pal, Chita Rivera.
Okay.
She was on Guys and Dolls, in the cast of Guys and Dolls as a dancer, according to her Wikipedia page. So I wondered if you had known her before.
She might have, gosh.
So maybe you guys really became friends after that, even though she might have been on
No,
the
we knew each other before then. Okay. We had done a road company, you know, how would they sell cars out on the road, and they have singers and dancers performing for the people. And that's how we met. And so we became fast friends there. And then, of course, Chita went into her all of her shows. But Guys and Dolls?
Yeah, I think they had that. I'll check her Wikipedia page. Yeah, West
Me
Side
too.
Story was like the big one, I guess. You know, the big...
Oh, well, big, yeah. You know? Yeah.
But she was in a few before that, according to the page. But, you know, sometimes you can't trust Wikipedia. Do you know Carol Connors was on the show last week, and Carol wrote the Rocky theme? She lives in Hollywood in Beverly Hills.
Oh, the Lady Carol Connors. Yeah, okay.
And she wrote just a bunch of songs for a bunch of people.
Right,
with that.
Right.
But that song was one in particular. It's kind of, you know, you do something and it kind of becomes synonymous with your name for a long, long time. And I said, I have to ask you, you jumped out of an airplane in 2011? And she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, your Wikipedia page says you went skydiving. And she's like, no, it was scuba diving. I'm like, oh, okay, well, somebody needs to go edit that.
You got to check these things out. You got to check these people out.
At any rate, you guys have been friends for a long time.
Yeah, best friend.
Is she one of your favorite dancers?
She's one of my favorite people, period. Dancing goes with it.
Mm-hmm.
I stood up for her at her wedding.
Ah.
And I went with her to get her divorce, too.
Stood up for the divorce.
So I think we're very good friends.
Well, that's fantastic. And where is she living these days? Is she on the East Coast or West Coast?
She lives in New York.
Okay. Yeah. Was your favorite work being on the stage in Broadway, or was it more choreographing?
Oh, boy, I love both of those so much.
Yeah, I know. It's a crappy question.
No, it isn't. I like my answer. I love both of them so much.
Yeah.
I love performing. And, of course, I would show people, you know, if it was a character kind of a thing,
mm-hmm.
I could show them how I wanted the moves, you know, mm-hmm. and I'd get to do them. And I thought I was pretty good.
Yeah.
And I was.
Well, obviously.
and working with all of the people that I've worked with was so much fun to blend their moves with, make them comfortable and happy doing the crazy moves that we would dream up, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and instinctively, I think, you know, you have a sense of what the character needs to be or how to express the emotion and put that into the move.
Yeah, well, the music and the lyrics, that all starts from there. And then they hand you this music and these lyrics. And there came a time, and I forget when it was, where they started to hand choreographers a cassette tape. I had never worked like that before, and I can't remember what it was. And I said, wait a minute, where are the songwriters? Who's going to sing this song? You know, I need to talk to the people who wrote the music.
Right.
What? I didn't like that at all.
That got removed.
And now that's
process.
What they do. They say, okay, you want to choreograph this or that, Here's the music. Hand it to them. I mean, they hand it to you.
Yeah. So you don't really get their intention, only that final version, which might be a demo version by the time you're getting it, because you're working on it while they're still working on it.
Yeah.
So that can be kind of odd.
Well, I haven't done a show in a long time. That's why I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, because you're looking for a little work.
I love doing your show.
Well, you know,
sweetie, honey pie.
You can come on
Lammy pie
anytime you like. But you're not as retired as you like to pretend. You're involved locally still. In fact, you did a production recently that I was going to talk about later, but now I'm talking about it now. The Dan D Music Review, I think it was called.
Dan D Music, Dan.
And that was?
That's a songwriter who lives here.
Dan?
Dan Couric, yeah.
Uh-huh. And D for
funny,
D.
Funny, wonderful songwriter, a musician, singer. Mm-hmm. And the first time I worked with him, and I can't think of what it was. We've worked on a couple of shows together here.
Right.
And
that was for Cave the Desert Hills Theater. I forget the name. I have so many notes on my silly PDF file
Desert
that I'm just
Foothills.
Racing up and down and I can't find it.
Desert Foothills. Desert Foothills Theater.
And that was like fifth or sixth show that you've done for them.
Yeah.
So what are you?
I'm taking a back seat now.
Are you just?
Oh yeah.
Finally, gonna just like take a second, catch your breath for a minute.
No, I don't even want to catch my breath. Oh. I just want to sit in the back seat and look at the view.
Yeah, it's beautiful though. It's up there. It's really gorgeous. Now I want to ask you about another movie because I didn't remember seeing this movie originally. It was Beaches. I saw it. I didn't see it when it first came out, but I saw it later. And I'm a Bette Midler fan. She's really great. As a choreographer, what was your role in Beaches? Was there a music video version where she started singing the song? Was there some, or did you choreograph the beach scene where the horse goes by? I mean, was it choreographed that was dance, or was it choreographed that was character manipulation?
Choreographed her character and whoever she was with in the scenes.
To me, that bit's fascinating. Do you do that a bit where they're like, look, we got six people talking and all these people coming and going. Do you help them know how people should move through the room, even if it's not a dance sequence?
Yes.
Ever gotten involved in that?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
To me, I'm actually a budding filmmaker. I'm working on my first film, and the biggest problem is when you have a bunch of people in a place and
move
you're trying
them.
To achieve something. Yeah, and to make all those decisions and make that work is an incredible gift.
Well, I listen to the music a lot firsthand. Mm-hmm. If the music is the main thing, mm-hmm. otherwise you put in background music to whatever kind of thing that you're doing. But if the music is the main thing, I listen to it a lot, and I know that like if Bette's going to do it, I know her character now. You know who she is when she walks into a room. You just want music to be playing because she's got that strut, and look out, here she comes.
You've worked with lots of people that have different characters. For example, you worked with Cher.
Cher, yep.
And was that Cher. For their television show, the Sonny and Cher show, or was it for something after?
No, it wasn't Sonny and Cher. It was her show that she did right after Sonny and Cher.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was her show, and it was fun. She did a lot of just parading around with beautiful clothes on, dropping the coat, and then parading around some more in a beautiful gown. But she was fun.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, look out. She was fun.
And I noticed you worked with Robin Williams.
Oh, boy.
Well, talk about fun.
Oh, what? I mean, he was so much fun. He, you know how he was so fun? He would walk into this studio. I'm talking about your studio now that mm-hmm. we're sitting in.
Right.
And I'm thinking about when he would walk into our rehearsal studio where I had to stage him in a musical sequence. And there would be stuff. He would be into your computer here. He would be into the phone thing. He'd be into this, that. I'm pointing at stuff.
TV screens, chairs, windows, computers.
Yeah, computers, that sign that says Music Star, which you are. He has a big sign here that says Music Star. Worldwide.
Worldwide Music Star. Well, see that. Now, let's talk about that sign, and we'll come back to Robin.
Otto D.
I didn't put that sign there.
Otto D.
And it's pretty red and blue and lights and all. It's very, very, very candy-coated kind of.
Oh, see, he knows the description very well.
So anyway, back to Robin. So Robin would come in. He'd be into everything.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I would allow a certain amount of time for him to do that because it was genius. It was fascinating. Your little studio here might be wrecked by the time he finished.
But you could
he wouldn't
get
break everything,
but, you could
but
get
he
material.
Would investigate everything.
Oh, yeah. The space. He would know.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful creature.
He did that with audiences. Like yeah. Nobody could. He would investigate everybody, and that was where all of his material came from, what he found.
Yeah.
And most people could never walk into a room with no material and fill a show.
No.
And he could just like that off the top of his head. So I would imagine working with someone like him, you get a lot of ideas bounced right back at you immediately, and you do a little bit of editing on the fly just because he's got a lot of great ideas.
Oh, well, I'm having a moment now, so... Wherever you are, Robin. Yeah. Everybody else, look out. Here he comes.
Here he comes. They're aware. I'm sure he's knocked everything over and just sucked everything out. But there's a couple other names here, too, and that I'm interested in because, again, I remember watching Danny Thomas. And I like Danny Thomas. And Father Knows Best was one of his shows, you know. And he's listed as somebody that you had done some work with on one of these sites.
Did I work with Danny Thomas?
Oh, I take it back. I have a photo of you guys together. It was probably just a big party. Did we talk about the Super Bowl halftime show, or was that before we were on the radio?
Which one?
You did one with, I believe it was the Michael Jackson show in 1993.
Well, Michael brings his own people.
Right, so you did
the
crazy...
But I choreographed like 500 people that worked around him in the end zones, which the football people went crazy when they saw me rehearsing in the end zones. You can't rehearse there. I said, but that's where they're supposed to be, because Michael Jackson is on the big stage in the middle with all the children.
Right.
And then the other dancers who are, you know, doing the background for this number are there. That's where they are. And anyway... got a lot of trouble. They didn't like to see me come and rehearse. I wrecked the football.
You ruined the whole
stadium.
So I'm just going to keep kind of going through these lists.
Okay.
Just talking about people. But another one is Sammy Davis Jr.
Ah.
Did you ever meet him?
Of course. Of course. Oh, he was just wonderful to work with. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
And a good dancer.
Oh, yeah. Oh, are you kidding?
I know.
He was a tap dancer.
I know.
And I don't tap dance. So I say, okay, Sammy, hit it.
I need a routine, and you're going to give it to me. Well, that had to be fun.
Oh, it was. You're making me so happy.
Did you ever have, this will make you sad. I can fix that. So did you ever have to work with a star who just couldn't dance, but we had to have a scene? So you end up almost having them walk through it. But like, who was a bad dancer that you made look good? Do you remember one
if
of those?
If I did I don't remember it.
Okay. You are so kind. You are so kind. Here's another actor who claims to be an incredible dancer and never felt like he got his due, and that's Richard Gere, who got to dance in Chicago when they did the movie
version.
How
did you find that out? I mean, how do you know that he didn't, that he wanted to dance? I don't know him. I've never worked with him.
He finally got to dance in Chicago.
Oh.
I saw that show in New York. In Broadway, I think it's the Schubert Theater before it was a movie. But he was in the movie, and he got to dance. And he was so happy because he had danced. He had done a lot of dancing in the past, but never, as he became a star, he never had that opportunity. And I think he always pitched his hat and going, well, you know, I can dance too. And so he got to do this movie where he danced a lot.
Now, how do you know all of this stuff? You've read about it? I mean...
Yeah, I remember how upset he was when everybody was nominated for awards but him. And when he mentioned something about it, he got criticized as not being a good dancer in the film, and he
was
upset.
Why am I thinking that he improvised that dance?
I don't know.
I don't think it was choreographed. I think he improvised, like, you know how you can make believe?
Yeah.
You can prove to somebody that you can tap dance by just putting taps on shoes and going
right, and smack them
like
about,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I would love to get up on this.
I can help you up. Speaking of that, I have a dear friend in town who's an incredible tap dancer. And he plays trumpet, and he plays trombone, and he plays guitar and piano. And he goes on tour and with other people, and he does all that around them for them. In fact, he tours with Nils Lofgren, who's a guitar player, a friend of mine. And Nils said, wow, you can tap dance. I'm going to put a board on the floor with microphones under it, and you can play kick drum and snare drum sounds with your feet.
Yeah,
so he
kind of
plays drums by dancing on this board. He created his own, I should tell you his name, Greg Varlata. There you go, Greg. He created his own...
Hi, Greg.
His own little language called footnotes, and where he annotates on sheet music a tap dance move. So anybody who can read music has a quicker relationship to learning tap right there, or you kind of learn tap by looking on staff paper. So he's got it all written out. It's called footnotes. It's fascinating.
Wow.
So if you ever need some help with anything tap dancing, we got a guy.
Okay. I can do the time step and shuffle off to Buffalo, and that's all.
I can't do either of those.
Oh, you want me to teach you right now?
Oh, you know what? Let me get a camera. It'll be better that way. So, Bob Mackey.
Oh, what
dear
a
friend, right?
Pleasure, yeah.
And there's a particular story. This blew me away. This guy, Bob Mackey, is a award-winning designer who, among many other things, is credited as being the only costume designer on all 269 episodes of The Carol Burnett Show. Were you around The Carol Burnett Show at all? Did you ever get to see any of that?
No, we rehearsed down the hall from them. Oh, okay. But I have friends who choreographed it. I know.
She seems like a card.
Oh, yeah.
So I imagine you ran into her once in a while.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you've done so many things. John Denver and Friends. So you worked on John Denver's show a little bit.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s.
He was another one who would come in and start talking at rehearsal, and I would let him because he was incredible. He just almost like a preacher. And he would talk, and the dancers and I would be sitting, but it would be so interesting that I would let him do it. And then finally it would get to the point where I would try, and I'd get in there to just say, okay, now we have to start rehearsing now,
And when you would come in and talk like that, is he talking about his
life,
impression of what we were doing, or just something completely unconnected to the show?
Completely unconnected with the show.
Fascinating.
Yeah, about life and people and what you feel in your heart and,
Now, you went to TV, film, you did Broadway, working as a choreographer. And then you also did, besides the Super Bowl, you've done a couple of the notable events that I just wanted to ask you about. Because they're like one-offs. You don't do them every day. You did the 100th anniversary of the Statue of Liberty event, which you won an Emmy for, the broadcast of that. And you also did the opening series, I believe, for the 1984 Olympic Games in Los Angeles. Those are almost like different jobs when you take something on that big
and,
or that's
in
a different.
And you know what? Those were a long time ago.
They were.
I'm trying to get my brain around.
You know, you don't even
You're
have
telling
to. But
me
I,
stuff.
What I want to say is congratulations. I want to shake your hand. Those were awesome gigs to land.
You are good.
I'm just saying. And at the halftime shows, these guys, like at the Super Bowl, the field is, there's nothing there. They go to a commercial, and then another commercial, maybe a third commercial. They come back, and all this stuff is on the field. Gear, stages, lights, people. That had to blow you away.
Well, yeah, it did, because I had nothing to do with that, with the building. And so you know that the people who are building that set have had rehearsals to do that at another field someplace.
And then you're there, and it's like, okay, we're at commercial, go. And you just watch this whole thing go down while all of your people are running into the end zone to get ready,
And all I remember is that we had the biggest thing that I had to be clear of was to make sure that tunnel into the area was clear, because the tunnel was the only way you got on to this place as a performer or as a stagehand or whoever sound. Everything.
And you're bringing a couple hundred people through there in a 30-second period.
Look out.
You had to make sure that people weren't coming in the other way.
It's choreographed.
Exactly.
Everything is choreographed.
Nobody even got to see that part, but that's the entrance and exit of the whole thing. Awesome. Well, you know what? I'd like to spin one more song. What a scene. What a movie. The work they did.
You just made me cry.
That was never my intention, but I'm glad that you enjoyed that so much. Wonderful to hear.
It is wonderful to hear. The audience just heard that, what you played?
Yeah.
Oh, golly.
What neat work. And I think that sometimes when you do a project, you don't realize how incredibly historic it is. It's just a job. And you have no idea that for the rest of your life,
not until quite a bit later. Yeah.
In fact, you guys mentioned that that was actually featured in a film festival. Was it in Sedona? And you got to watch it three or four times as they played it through the festival.
Yeah.
It's got to be fun to watch people see it again and revisit it and remember it, you know?
It actually is. I mean, some of the stuff I sit up and I'm surprised at, and I went, oh my gosh, I forgot that.
Yeah. Oh, you walk around the house going, damn.
This is good. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want the audience to know that he just made me cry.
All right, well, that'll get...
But it was a good cry. I was so happy to hear that music.
Isn't that great?
I hope you were too.
Well, and I'm so happy that you came. Like I say, you came down. I mean, I appreciate that you took my invitation.
This has been a pleasure. You are a pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. You're a pleasure.
Yeah, well, gee, thank you.
So you can come down some. I'll come out and hang out.
Form a club.
Perfect. I'm all about it. Well, there you go. And, you know, I regret the fact that I never reached out to Dee Dee and set up that club.
I'm sure you would have been the president of that club.
I would have been present at every club meeting, I'll tell you that.
I have to tell you, though.
What a fan.
What was so great about the ending of that interview is you were thanking her for coming down to your studio. And, you know, part of her delight in having done that with you was who she was with. So she has the love of her life, Gordy Mischke, who is an incredibly accomplished sculptor. And every time she and Gordy are together, she is basking in the light that is that love. And so I think she'd really like to share with your listeners her love for Gordy that is endless to this moment. Mm-hmm. So he accompanied her on that interview, as you very well remember.
Yeah, he was in the room.
Yeah. So, you know, and in as much as she is fully retired now, I mean, those jazz hands have never stopped.
Yeah.
Those feet have never stopped.
In the interview, it's funny how she mentioned a couple times, oh, you want me to show you that dance? Yeah. You want me to get up on the table and dance? And
I'm would have done it.
I know. To be that alive, you know, and still that engaged by the moment is what I guess I hope I always am.
Well, she's terribly inspirational in that regard. And
absolutely.
I still have the great pleasure of being able to go over to the house and have a coffee with her, and we can do a little coffee talk. And, you know, she's might as well be dancing on the tables then, too, because she's got so much energy and so much life. And I get a little jealous thinking, oh, geez, Shannon, come on. She set the bar kind of high. Let's go grab it, you know.
That's understandable.
Yeah.
Well, Shannon, thanks for coming in and sharing this with me. It's been a real joy for me to hear the interview again, and always great to visit with you. And we didn't even talk about all the crazy things you've been doing.
Oh, that's all right. Another time. Yeah.
Well, thanks again.
Thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.